Now please to return to the Gospel of John and chapter 1, please. The Gospel of John and chapter 1, those of you who were following the hymns we've just sung will recognise that both of the hymns that we have just sung were based on John's Gospel. We want to read the opening verses of John. We'll start to read at John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. But for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And finally, at verse 29, please. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. The verses that have particularly been on my mind for tonight are verses 11 and 12 of the chapter we've read. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, the Word, we read, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And these verses set before us a solemn choice. He came. And John's recorded in this gospel narrative, as you read through, we read of the Lord Jesus coming from heaven into this world, coming as the Word, the final revelation of God to men. And coming soon, as we read at the end of the last reading we had in verse 29, coming as the Lamb of God who would deal with the sin of the world. And he came to people who should have been expecting him. He came to people who knew about the Lord, who knew what God expected. And they didn't receive him. And then verse 12. In contrast to people who ought to have believed and given, the promise went out as many as received him. To them gave he power, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. And you know the assurance of God's word is this. While there will be many like the people in the days of the Lord, who will refuse the Lord Jesus, everyone who receives him, everyone who turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and receives him as Saviour and as Lord at that moment, they become a child of God. They're born into the family of God. As verse 13 tells us, at the end of verse 13, they were born of God, a work of God. You know, this is the tremendous assurance of the message that we have. God had spoken for centuries before the Lord Jesus came. He had told people what he wanted. He'd given them commandments. He'd given them warnings about the dangers of not listening to what he said. But there was one very big problem. Nobody had the power to do what God wanted. Nobody had the ability. Nobody was able. God could say what he wanted. And all it would ever do was expose the weakness of man. Yes, God provided a way by which those people could come to him. And it was pointing forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. But now we look back. And now we have the assurance that God is doing a work through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far greater than anything that has ever happened before. But let's just think about this to start with it. We started at the beginning because we met there. Just making us understand who this person is. Who is it as a person that we're talking about? Who is it who came? If you put together all the verses that we have read, it is very clear that the person who came in verse 1, he's the Word. At the end of verse 1, the Word was God. This is no one less than the eternal God coming into this world. He came, verse 9, he came as the true light. And he came to shine in a world that would lighten every man who came into the world. He brought the light of God into this world. What were we just singing? Come to the light, to shine for thee. Swiftly the light has fallen upon thee. You know, that's why we're here. That's why I can stand here tonight. I can look back now nearly 56 years to the time when the light of God first shone into my heart, and I recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one not only who was a Saviour, not only was he the one who was the only Saviour that God had provided, but he was the one that I needed as my Saviour. And from that day in August 1961, I've been able to look back and to recognize and to confess, not because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the family of God, I have everlasting life. Why? Because God came into this world. He came as a light to show us what we were like. You know, I'm thinking of this. Go back into the Old Testament, as God spoke many times in the Old Testament. You have to come nearly to the end of the Bible to find the first prophecy that's recorded. We're told in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Jude, that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying that the Lord will come from heaven with his eight mighty angels to execute judgment. Interestingly, Enoch, we are told Enoch walked with God from the birth of his son for 300 years. The name that he gave to his son was Methuselah. Translated into English, the name Methuselah means, when he is gone, it will come. The Lord will come to execute judgment. And when this boy dies, as he named the son, he said, and when this boy dies, God's judgment will come on this world. Methuselah lived for 969 years. For the last 120 years of Methuselah's life, Noah was preaching and building an ark. Because Noah listened to what God had said. He heard God say, and God said, this judgment is coming. Build the ark. And Noah built an ark. And warned the people. There is a testimony of the man Methuselah telling them as soon as he died, it would come. There is a warning of Noah building the ark. This is the only way of escape. And sure enough, 969 years from the time that Methuselah was born, and the warning was given, Methuselah died, and the flood came. You could go over to the next book of your Bible, to the book of Exodus. And the Lord sent Moses into Pharaoh, and the Lord said to Pharaoh, through Moses, let my people go. And Pharaoh asked and said, who is the Lord? And 10 times over, in the next few weeks, God sent judgment after judgment on the land of Egypt. Until the servants of Pharaoh said to him, the land's destroyed. Why won't you listen? And finally the firstborn in the land was to be killed. And the only way that the firstborn would be spared was if they killed the lamb and put blood on the doorpost. The judgment of God is coming. And if I see where I see the blood, I will pass over you, God said. If there is hunger, the destroying angel will come in and will kill the firstborn. And sure enough, on the 14th day of the first month, the judgment of God came at midnight, exactly as God had said. One of the things that started me thinking about this was reading through the prophecy of Jeremiah. I've been reading through that over the past few weeks. And if you read the prophecy of Jeremiah, you will find he started to prophesy in the 13th year of Josiah. Josiah reigned as king for another 18 years. Jehoiakim then followed for another 11 years. There was another king for a few months there. Then there was another king, Jeremiah, for a few months after the death of Jehoiakim. And Zedekiah reigned for another 11 years. And throughout that 40 years of Jeremiah's ministry, of Jeremiah's prophecy, he was warning the people, the judgment of God is coming. If you do not change your way, if you do not turn back to the Lord, you will be taken into captivity. The city, the land will be destroyed, there'll be nothing left. The people wouldn't listen. And some 40 years after Jeremiah started his ministry, the judgment of God fell. Nebuchadnezzar overthrew the city. the people were taken into captivity. We come to the New Testament. And the Lord came. And when the Lord came, he was announced. We read about John the Baptist in verse 29, John. John sees Jesus coming and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Before that time, John had been preaching to the people. And John had been saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He'd been urging the people to turn from their sin, to turn away, to wait for the one who had been promised he was coming. And now the verses we read in the verse we read there of verse 29, John sees it. John sees the Lord Jesus. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Here is the one that God has promised. You think of the Passover. They knew all about the Passover when the lamb was taken, when the blood had been put on the doorpost of the temple. And those who were inside the house were spared from the judgment that was coming. John says, "Here's the Lamb of God." There's a far greater judgment coming. A far greater judgment coming than came in the days of Noah. A far greater judgment coming than the judgment that came in the days of Pharaoh, when Moses was in Egypt. A far greater judgment than came in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, he tells us that it's going to be a judgment where those who have not listened to the voice of God and repented will be cast into everlasting fire. Not a temporary judgment. Not something that's just going to pass. The captivity in Babylon, it lasted for 70 years. Egypt, yes, it might have been destroyed under the judgments of God when Pharaoh refused to let the Israelites go. But a few years later, Egypt was a power again to be reckoned with. When the flood came in the days of Noah, the waters stayed on the earth. The earth took about a year from the flood starting until the waters of the earth dried up and Noah came out. And then the earth was replenished again. In those earlier judgments, God had given a warning, God had sent a judgment. But God was merciful. The judgment came as a warning. God is now telling us that there's a judgment coming and there will be no mercy. And that the only way of escape from that judgment is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He's a light. He's a light in the world because he shows us what God is really like. Go through the gospel narratives. The Lord Jesus again and again would speak to men who would tell you how good they were. One man came to the Lord Jesus and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And when the Lord Jesus told him about the law, he said, "Well, I've done everything. I've done all of that from the time I was a youth. What do I need to have eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus showed him up for what he really was. Have you kept God's law? God's law says thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul. It's a very other one that you've got. Do you love God more than your riches? Do you love God more than your possessions? God's word says, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. As a gift to the poor. Do you love your neighbour as yourself for those things that you've got? Are you ready to show the love, to show your love to your neighbour by giving those things you've got to help the poor? That man couldn't. He had to go all by one because the Lord had shone like a light into his heart. And those two commandments that summarize everything that is in the law, he couldn't live up to either of those commandments. But you know, when it comes to ourselves, it's just as true for everyone of us. We can look at people around us, and we might be able to say, well, you know, I'm not doing the things that these people are doing. There's all these people who are far worse than me in this world. But when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we see what God wants. We see what God expects from us. And there's not one of us who can come up to his standard. Just stop and think about this. He told that rich man to sell all that he had and give to the poor. Who was it saying that? It was the Son of God, who came down from heaven, where he was the centre of praise for all the angels of God, into this world, where he didn't have a home to call his own, where he didn't have anything to call his own. As far as we can read in the Gospels, it would appear perhaps he just had the very clothes he stood up in. He gave everything up when he came into this world. He wasn't asking that rich man to do anything that he hadn't done himself. You know, the wonder of the gospel message tonight is this. That the one who came as a light to show up all the darkness of our heart and to show how far short we came of what God wanted is the one who came as the Lamb of God to take the judgment that our sins deserve. You know, sometimes on a Sunday morning we sing a verse of the hymn that says this, "To thee, my cross, Lord, that we love, what thou in all thy fullness art." Yea, through the darkening cloud, discern the love of thy devoted heart. And we come to the cross. There would have been a wonder to think that the Son of God would leave the glory of heaven to come into this world and to live as a humble stranger with nothing and nowhere to call his own. But he didn't just do that. he went out to the cross to die the death of the worst criminals of the day. To take the punishment that should have been reserved for the worst of society was. Why? So that we could be absolutely certain there's not one person in this world who cannot be saved by this Lord Jesus Christ. He showed us up for just what we're like. And then he says, look, if you look at all that sin and remember that separating you from God, you can look to the cross. And you could see the Lamb of God. You could see the one who took the judgment that you deserve. But you go through the Old Testament. We've talked about the lamb that was brought on the Passover day. There's many times you read in the Old Testament about lambs being caught. Every morning, every evening, they had to bring a lamb as an offering to God. When you come to the New Testament, we only read of one lamb, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God is saying to us is this: what you can't do for yourself, what the law can't do for you, what the sacrifices could never do, the Lord Jesus Christ has done when he died on the cross. There's only one sacrifice that God can accept. You could sell everything you have and give it to the poor, like the Lord Jesus said to that rich man, it wouldn't save you. The Lord Jesus said that to the rich man because it showed where he came short in his heart. It showed where he came short of God's standard. It's not that that would have saved him. It was to expose his sin. And even if you were to go and sell everything you had and give it to the poor, there'd be something else in God's work that would come to you and would say, you've got to do this. And if you haven't done it, you'll be shut out of heaven forever. But you know the glorious message we have to tell tonight is this: the Lord Jesus Christ has come. But he hasn't come like men like Noah, or Moses, or Jeremiah. He hasn't come with a message that tells you of a judgment that's coming. I'm just telling you to turn and not doing anything else, not able to do anything else to help you. He's come as the one who said, look, whatever you do, you deserve the judgment of God, you deserve everlasting judgment. He's come as the one who's taken that judgment upon himself. What did we see? All our iniquities on him were laid. All our indebtedness by him was paid. Every sin that we've ever committed will be put to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ if we believe. Every penalty that God demanded for sin has been paid by the death of Christ. All we have to do is to say, I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I can't do anything about it myself. But he came. He came to save. And you look to the Lord. As many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. Receive him as Saviour, receive him as Lord. immediately you become a child of God. What does it say in verse 13? You're not born of flesh. It doesn't matter how many of your family are saved, you'll not be saved because of that. It's not saved by the will of the flesh. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't save yourself. You're not saved by the will of man. Nobody else can do anything to save you. But of God. And God is waiting today to save you. But we come back to where we started.
There is a judgment coming. A judgment will be everlasting. And if we've not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if we've not come in God's way to the Savior that God has provided and made him our Savior, there's no one to escape from that judgment that is coming. Tonight the promise of God is, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the Son of God. Or the words of the hymn, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Yes. But you know the verse that hymn was quoting goes on to say this: he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abiding on him.
Our gracious God, again tonight we thank thee and praise thee for another opportunity to tell of the gospel of Christ, to tell of the salvation of God that is available to everyone who believes. And we thank thee that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That the very Son of God came into this world, a light to shine in the darkness. But we bless thee that while there's a light, he would shine and show the corruption of sin in our hearts. We thank thee and praise thee too, that as the Lamb, he was the one who took our sin upon himself, so that we could be forgiven. So that we do not need to face the judgment that we deserve. We just pray again tonight that we might understand and appreciate what the Lord has done. We ask again, it might please thee that no one would leave this hall tonight without knowing the Saviour, without receiving him as theirs. We ask it as we commit ourselves to thee in his precious name. Amen.